Let's pray. Father, we forgot to pray for our relationship with our neighbors to the south. Lord, we do need to pray about this. It's what I think started as kind of some joking has turned in a different direction and very serious. And we just pray that the bold words would be reduced and serious relationship should be continued to be encouraged, and that our partners, our neighbors to the south, Lord, that as we've got along so well for so many years, pray that would continue, and pray for all this brouhaha and this threats and all this stuff would just kind of like cooler heads would prevail and the common sense prevail as well. So just pray for loud mouths to be silenced, and pray for just wisdom, cooler heads and wisdom to prevail, which I know is hard to pray for when it comes to government, but Lord, you can do these things. Mary said you can do the impossible, so I think that ranges in that category. So we pray for our neighbors and our own country as well. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I love how Luke weaves the stories. Stories always makes it sound like it isn't real, right? The narratives of John and Jesus. And it's kind of hard for us because we're so familiar with it, right? So try to imagine with me for a moment, this is the first time you're hearing this. And so when you open up Luke's gospel, Luke begins talking about this random priest, old guy named Zechariah, nice old guy, righteous old guy, his wife is righteous and so on. They're childless, and again, righteous couple, but, you know, and God, Zechariah is turned, goes to go help worship at the temple, and the lot is cast, and he gets that rare opportunity to go into the holy place, which just outside this side of the curtain of the Holy of Holies, he gets to go in there and burn the incense all by himself, and everybody else is waiting. And while he's in there, supposed to be praying for the nation, that's what the altar of incense is for, the angel Gabriel appears to him and says, your prayer has been answered. Your wife is going to have a son. He's going to be John. He's going to be the one who paves the way for the Messiah. And of course, he doesn't believe it. Gabriel says, you can't speak until the day your son is born. He goes home, right? His wife becomes pregnant. There in the south, in Jerusalem, outside Jerusalem, somewhere around there, okay? Scene two. All of a sudden, you're up north. All of a sudden, it's 6 months later, okay? Let's say it was March. Now it's September. All right? Random teenager. Right? She's just going about her everyday business. Gabriel appears to her and says, you're going to be the one who's going to bear the Messiah, and it's going to be a miraculous birth because you're a virgin and you haven't been with a man. And she says, okay. Right? She says, yes, I believe you can do this. And of course, if you pretend you're reading this for the first time, it's like reading a fictional thriller, and you're like, okay, somewhere I know later in the book, these two people have to get together. Because they're like, she's way up north, he's way down south, right? And how are they going to get together? And then you read verse 36, and you're like, ah, there it is, right? Even Elizabeth, your relative. Oh, we didn't know that. We didn't know there was a connection between Elizabeth and Mary up until this point. And you're like, okay, now I get it. And so there's that connection. And Luke now brings them together here in verses 39 to 56. And if you're one of those people that is just kind of like a type A personality and you only want the bottom line, like, okay, this isn't for you, all right? This isn't a side. This is, right? This is like, You think this is kind of like a parenthesis, that we need to move on and get to the real thing. No, this is good. There's a reason why this is here in the Word of God. Because when you think about it, why does Mary want to go see Elizabeth? I mean, okay, you're far away. Actually, it's 90 miles, all right? Zechariah lives in the hill country of Judea. Actually, tradition says that John was born in a village called En-Karim, which is about 5 miles southwest of Jerusalem. Nazareth is 90 miles away. So basically, Mary's going to make another Bethlehem-type journey, or she made another Bethlehem-type journey, 6 months, or 9 months, I should say, to her, prior to her doing that again. And if you just want a sort of a visual as to how far that would be, imagine walking from here to outside Belleville, but going Highway 15 first. So take Highway 15 to the 401, then walk, and by the time you get to the Sterling Cutoff, that's about the distance it would be from Nazareth to where Zechariah and Elizabeth are. And it says it's hill country. So imagine you're going up fully mountain about every 2 miles. All right? So it's very, very hilly terrain. And Mary would have traveled, obviously, on foot and probably with a caravan of people. But again, like, why Elizabeth? Why don't we read that she rushed home to go see Joseph or even her own family? I mean, how well does she know Elizabeth? Has she ever met Elizabeth? Maybe. Maybe a long time ago. Maybe some family gathering. Maybe a wedding. Maybe a bar mitzvah, right? How well did she really know her? See, the reason why she goes to Elizabeth is because Elizabeth is the only person in the entire world who understands what Mary is going through spiritually, and how both of them can relate to one another because God is doing an amazing work in their lives. And that's the point of this parenthesis. Why do we have this here? I think it's to encourage us as the people of God to share how God is working in our life, to share with each other how God is working in our life. You see, Mary can't share this with her parents or her closest friends, or even Joseph, because, I mean, Joseph doesn't get this yet, right? Joseph hasn't had the visit from Gabriel yet. That's going to come sometime in the next 3 months while Mary is away. So he's not there yet. And if Mary had shared these things with her closest family members or her friends, I mean, they would have thought she was wacko, right? Where are you getting this off, right? You're going to be the mother of the Messiah, right? But she had the faith to believe that God was going to do this great work through her. And as a sign to affirm God can do the impossible, Gabriel says, your relative, Elizabeth, an aunt, or whatever she is connected to her, is now expecting, which is another impossible work of God because she's past the childbearing age. So not every believer has the same spiritual understanding sometimes that believes and accepts what God is doing in our lives. But we need to share the joy that comes through faith and obedience with each other. So after probably takes her about a week to get to Elizabeth on foot, right, down many hills and valleys and up so on, she gets there. She's believed Gabriel's words to her, of course, which are God's words, and she wants to share them with Elizabeth, who also had believed Gabriel's words to her, which are the words of God as well. And how much information did Elizabeth have at this point that about who was going to be the mother of the Messiah? Nothing, right? Because it says, as soon as she heard the sound of Mary's greeting, all of a sudden, the baby leaps in her womb, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. So again, we see the Spirit's involvement in bringing about and affirming the work of God here. And Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit because she believes by faith in the words of God that the Messiah is coming and that her son is the one who's going to pave the way. And the